Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by the Golf Den. Keep your swing looking good, feeling good. Two locations, West Ed and Sherwood Park. Go to golfden.ca. They also have coaches there if they want to improve your game so you can crush your buddies early in the spring next year. Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm outstanding.
Good.
I know I asked about Marincin, and then you followed up with an Akeaton one, and you know, about or Ollie, kind of, hey, what's the what's the message, kind of, see, and hey, I don't have a crystal ball, but at times it's so obvious to see what's going to happen. Nikita didn't matter what he did, he was staying in the lineup. Keith Ollie, and I wrote it before the game, I said, you watch, Marincin will stay in the press box until Ollie makes a mistake and they take him out. And lo and behold, he makes one bad pass, the result. Granted, the forwards were, you know, there was no gap between him, he had no one to pass to. Nonetheless, he gets taken out and Marincin comes back in, which he should be. But Nikita, just, you know, another veteran who seems oblivious to any sort of criticism or having to play well enough to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love this decision by Dallas Aikens. I think that Keith Ollie got called up and was put in the lineup. I thought he played pretty well for a number of games, and he's faltered a little bit here for sure. But it's tough for these guys, and I guess if you're the 6th, 7th, 8th defenseman organizationally, you got to get used to it, but one mistake and you might get sent back down to the minors. Or, because what happens if Marincin comes in and plays well now? So I don't love it. I think Nikita has been struggling. I think Dallas had an out. You know, he mentioned a back injury. He mentioned that he thinks he's been struggling. I think this was the perfect opportunity for Dallas to do what I think should have been done, which was to sit Nikita and to get Marincin back in the lineup. I think it's way too long that he's been out of the lineup, especially considering how long Nikita's been struggling for. So Dallas is in a hard spot. It's kind of between a rock and a hard place. If you scratch Nikita, now you're making the guys who signed him to a $4.5 million two-year deal look bad. And that's not necessarily an easy thing to do when you're a head coach. So there was enough evidence on the tape in Ollie's game from last game to make him feel like it was the right decision, but I think in the bigger picture, that Nikita was the one who deserved to come out, because now, you know, you got two things going on now. Now, Ollie realizes one mistake and he can be done, and you got Marincin feeling like one mistake or one bad game and he might not see the ice for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it
so
sounded
you got
like
guys playing afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah, Marincin was interesting. It sounds like with Marincin, it wasn't so much about a mistake. It was about a lack of intensity when he didn't have the puck. And you and I talked about that earlier. Marincin being way too soft in his own zone. And you know, so I'm curious, because moving the puck, he's fine. But, you know, a lot of the order's mistakes are more away from the puck when they don't have it. You've got to win those battles. So, you know, Marincin, they put on 15 pounds, and I guess obviously they're hoping he uses it at times.
Well, but that's the thing, is they have a developing defenseman. And so, you know, if you're not going to go out there and get more veteran players, if you realize you're going to have one of either Klefbom or Rinchen in your lineup for most of the year, you got to be committed to continuing the development. And sitting them in the press box for 2 weeks is not continuing anybody's development. It's not. It's beyond sending a message. It's beyond throwing the gauntlet down and challenging a player, right? It's beyond all of that. It doesn't make sense developmentally. It doesn't make sense from a discipline standpoint. It just doesn't make sense. And so you can't leave a guy in the press box that long. I don't know what you expect from Marincin tonight, but I'm not going to be surprised if he struggles. When was the last flipping game he played? You expect to just throw him in and he's just all of a sudden going to be great? Talk about Petrie not having a training camp or an exhibition season? Well, that's about 2 weeks, and that's how long this guy's been sitting. So how much of a position is he in to succeed? I think Dallas, regardless of what happens with Marincin tonight, I think the kid needs to stay in and be given a chance to play out of it, because he's been thrown into a hole, and now he's getting an opportunity to crawl out of it, but somebody puts their foot on his head and shoves him back down, take him out next game. Well, how much of a chance did he really have?
Yeah, I think, you know, if he comes out tonight and doesn't compete, then he probably deserves. I don't think it's about mistakes, because if the coach are just asking you to compete, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? And so, to me, I hope, though, that message then, I don't have a problem if you're doing it with Marincin, then you better start doing it with some other guys, is all I'm saying. Because yeah, I don't have saying, hey, guys, your competitive level is not high enough. I've been saying that for 4 years. So finally to hear a coach say that is music to my ears. But trust me, he ain't the only one. So hopefully if
– Well, for sure. But if you're a head coach, right, and head coaches always have their guys, it's easy to be hard on Martin Marincin because who's got his back? Who's the one who's going to stand up and go, this is not fair. You can't leave a guy in the press box for 2 weeks and expect anything out of him. Right? Who's going to be the one that's beating that drum? Whereas you bench Nikitin, well, now you got management looking at you going, what? You got a veteran player who's going to be pissed off, and who knows which way he's going to go with it. It's a risky proposition to do that. You sit Justin Schultz, well, you got your GM looking at you going, this is our future Norris Trophy winner. It's hard to do. You risk losing an important player in your lineup. It's easy to do this with Marincin. It's hard to send messages to players who are different stages in their career. And I think that Dallas needs to push buttons with players that are not necessarily the easy ones to push. So when Justin Schultz is struggling, give Mark Fain his 5-on-5 minutes. Back off his 5-on-5 minutes. If he's struggling on the power play and making terrible decisions like we've seen, give Jeff Petrie his power play minutes. There are ways to push these players' buttons without losing them entirely. Players get it. If they're not playing well, if they're making mistakes, their ice time is going to go. And I think that throwing Marincin in the press box for 2 weeks is an easy thing to do. This other discipline that we're talking about in accountability is not.
Oh, quickly, Corey number two, by the way, is back in at 677, by the way.
Yeah, juggling a bunch of Coreys here.
Oh, yeah, the Coreys. None of them are Graham, but, yeah, Corey number two is back in at 677. We got till 3 o'clock today for the Order of Hawks tickets at Center Ice, all for charity, row 5, great seats. Shogar, before we get to the Orders and the Devils and Jaromir Jagr, some interesting comments today, another hockey trade in the NHL, featuring the Dallas Stars sending Dylan to the San Jose Sharks for Demers and a third-round pick in 2016. What do you make of this deal?
Well, I really like Brandon Dylan. I'm surprised that Dallas wanted to move the player. I thought this guy, I've been pretty impressed with him most of the times that I've watched him play. I like the edge that he plays with. He's decent size, big, you know, he's a heavy guy. And I know he's not really producing much this year, but I feel like this was a pretty good young developing defenseman. So, that's what I'll say about, I'm surprised that they moved Brandon Dillon. I think there would have been a significant amount of interest in him out there had maybe a lot of teams known that he was available or on the block. I'm not sure if teams did know that. But, I'm a little surprised they moved him. Demers is not really producing much either.
Well, this year, but he's a right shot, more of a puck moving. Dylan's more of your defensive guy. He has one point in 20 games, and I think the Stars feel that they got to move the puck up. It's interesting because they lose. They've been giving up a lot of goals this year, but they obviously want a right hand shot puck distributor, and that's what they got in Demers. I agree with you. I was a little surprised, but because the Stars aren't an overly physical team. But I'm guessing they moved Dylan because they thought him and Alexiak ultimately were kind of the same guy.
Yeah, maybe. But as far as I'm concerned, if you have guys who are strong, defensive defensemen and who are hard to play against and who make life tough for the other team, I don't know that you can have too many of those guys. So while Demers is definitely more offensive-minded, he has not produced thing this year. He's got 3 assists in the 20 games that he's played. He was a 34-point defenseman last year, but he's not doing what they're hoping he'll come in and do. So why? What's the belief that all of a sudden he's going to just pick it up and the offense will start flowing when he gets there? I don't really get that.
Now, you had your D pairs had Ferentzen, Petrie, Nikitin, and Fain, and Marincin, and Schultz. I know that's what you sent out. I was watching practice. I thought I saw that Marincin was with Fain. And Ferris was with Schultz. But
Marincin at practice didn't take any regular reps, right? Dallas, when they ran their lines through, they ran through with Ali still in. Like, Dallas didn't show us. So usually if Marincin, if he would have gone through with the first group of D, you would have thought those were the lines. But Dallas didn't show that. So I wasn't positive where he was going to fit in. because he didn't actually take the line rushes with anyone consistently. But it wouldn't surprise me if he went in with Fane. I mean, there's a certain amount of sense to that, right?
Yeah. Yo, it makes way more sense. I don't think he'd play. I don't think he'd put Marinson with Schultz right away. That would seem odd to me by any stretch. Ryan Rashog joined us in the Rashog Report, brought to you by the Golf Den. Jaromir Jagr today, interesting comments. He said, "Hey, the game's easier." People ask him, "How can you still play and be their leading scorer?" He goes, "The game's easier for me. I'm not as physically tired. You know, there's not clutching and grabbing. There's not as many battles on the ice." And he also had an interesting. What were you there when he made the statement about? Someone asked him about Edmonton. He felt like they had too many similar players.
No, I didn't hear him say that. And I was in on that scrum for a little bit, but then I had to get moving for some other guys. But so he said the Oilers have too many similar type players.
Well, I got to get the exact. I shouldn't say that. I should get the exact wording on it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And that's what the guy. Because I obviously there was another scrum that because I was there for part of it,
yeah.
Then left. And supposedly people said that was. I didn't hear it myself, but that's why I was wondering if you were still there for that part. You didn't hear that?
No, I missed out on that part of it. But I was there for the part where he talked about the game being easier.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. I guess without the clutching and grabbing, and he can get around out there a little bit easier. He's a big man, right? He's a big, heavy guy. He doesn't get shoved around a lot out there. And not only at 42 is he still contributing and putting up points, but, I mean, the guy's playing. Like, I'm looking at his game log here. I mean, in 1938, 1851, 1955, 22 minutes, 23 and a half minutes. I mean, he's playing a pile of minutes, too. So he's one of those guys that just – a lot of times guys hang around into their early 40s, but it's kind of – yeah, you look at it and you're like, oh, man, you should probably just move on. Jagr somehow is managing to stay productive into his early 40s, play a ton of minutes, and still be a really important player. So it's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive. But you know what? It's the guy's in unreal shape for his age. And it really helps when you're that big of a body. He can just fend off so many guys. Like, his rear end's massive. He's 230 pounds. Like, it's hard. I don't care about his age. It's just his strength. He's hard to knock off the puck.
And he's smart, too, right? You watch him play. He's just so smart. He just knows where guys are. He knows how to make plays and move into spots. And he doesn't do any more work than he has to, but he works smart. And, yeah, he's still fun to watch, even at his age. And he's not one of those guys where you're cringing at as he's getting towards the end of it, you know?
Ryan Rashog joins us. Quickly, Shark, let's go to the Eskimos and the Stampeders. Different reports. Dave Rowe's going to join us later. Some suggesting Cornish might not play. I was talking about this earlier because the doctors, you know, there's a lot of pressure now in pro sports, you know, and no one knows because every guy reacts differently. And while you're clear today, the next shot in a physical sport might result in concussion, but it easily might not. So where do you think it's going to stand on pro sports? Like, if the doctors do everything in their power and give the guy all the information, because we all know there's no guarantee to prevent a concussion.
No, there's not. And really, when it boils down to it, and I don't know everything there is to know about protocol and about what testing can and can't reveal and what the player can and can't just kind of lie about, to be frank. But really, it comes down to the player's willingness to take the risk. And so if Cornish is willing to sit there with his head ringing and his ears ringing and to sit there and say, no, I feel fine, I don't know that there's going to be anything anybody's ever going to be able to do about that, but a guy's willingness to play no matter what. And really, it's tough because here we are with lawsuits and, well, teams should know and should be making players more aware. And
yeah, so if they make them aware, isn't it then the onus on the player ultimately?
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, if the player is sitting there not feeling right, see, and this is what I think has changed. I think that in today's day and age, if a player were to say, I don't feel right, I can't go, I don't think anybody would look at that player and judge him and think he's soft or think, oh, man. That pressure that maybe once upon a time was there on guys to just suck it up and play through it, I don't think there's any pressure to play through head injuries anymore at all. I think that it's nothing but complete understanding. You look at what Mike Camilleri went through here just recently with the team. I don't know if he was ever actually diagnosed as a concussion, but I think players have all the leeway in the world that they need to get themselves through these things. I don't think that exists anymore. So really, to me, the onus is on the player to be 100% honest about the way they feel and to be confident enough to know that it's okay. Take the time you need, that we understand this is serious. And any teams that are putting undue pressure on guys to get back from head injuries, they need to be shaking their heads. I don't know if it's happening or not, but I think the player just needs to be honest with how he's feeling and understand that the rest of the sports world will get it. Hey, man, take your time. It's okay.
Well, and in a lot of cases, though, the guys do take their time. They feel great, and we've all heard about second impact syndrome and stuff, and there's guys could have no concussions and then get one. So it's crazy about it.
Yeah, it's very unpredictable. It's very different for everybody. Honestly, the exact same hit, the exact same velocity, all of those things might concuss one guy and not even rattle another guy's skull. You know, everybody is different, and it changes. So I think that's why it's such a personal thing for these players, and it's up to them to protect themselves and to make good decisions. So I can't say whether Corner should be playing or not. I don't know. I don't know what he feels like. I don't know what his head feels like. I don't know. I will say, if anybody is putting any pressure on that player to get in that game, then shame on them.
Yeah,
it should be his decision and his decision alone.
I would agree. And our extraordinaire producer Mark Majoa, the quote from Jagr was that the order is basically, they got too much talent. Guys want to score but aren't defensive players, to summarize what he
said.
Which, hey, Jagr, thanks for the news. We've only been talking about it for years. Right?
News flash.
Maybe you could add in there that they're not heavy enough either. Let's throw that in for fun.
Exactly.
Too.
Normally a visiting player wouldn't get into critiquing the opposition on
Jagr being honest. Right? He just says, hey, that's what I see.
Sure. Yeah. When you're Jaromir Jagr, I guess you can be a little more honest about those things. Yeah. He once said that Alishemsky was the most talented player he'd ever played with.
Yeah, well, it didn't say most consistent, just said most talented.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It got 2 points last night.
Finally, hey?
Shocker, you have yourself a fantastic night. Are the Eskimos going to the Grey Cup for the first time since 2005, or is it going to be the Stamps?
You know what? I can't pick them to beat Calgary if Riley isn't 100%. Okay. I can't do it. So I would say that if Riley were 100%, I might lean towards them beating him for the first time this year. But I think they're going to really be missing that dimension he provides with his legs, and I think it's going to make them a little bit too one-dimensional, and I don't think they're going to be able to overcome that.
Shocker, have a good one. We'll see you at the rink.
Okay, buddy.